Tidbits Pod 46. Let's come along. All right, Chumleys, welcome aboard to Dipshit Splodge. My name is Jack Tiddlyballs, aka T-I-D-B-A-L-L-Cool-J. And, what I want to know is how the bloody hell are you? Really good? Good to hear? Yeah, me too, mate. Yeah. Yeah, how's missus? Yeah? Kids? Yeah, all good, yeah? All right, see you later. Today is bloody beautiful. It's cold and bright and a perfect day for a little stroll in the woods. So here I am, out on the common. And it's the sort of day, actually, where you just kind of, you get the urge to take nondescript foliage footage, like out in the woods, and sort of lots of slow left to right panning woodland undergrowth videos that you're probably never ever going to watch. Like woodland panoramas. Only pans, I guess. Now we've started. I mean, it's kind of like, blue sky peeking through the leaves and that. Bit of blue, foot dance, bit of blue. And, Peter Kay. Right, the next train will not stop here. We advise passengers to step back from the yellow line or they might get sucked off. I'm ready. Bring the train on. I'm ready. Oh, he's good in. Bit of blue. For dads. Bit of blue. Oh, man. Those were the days. That's pretty much my childhood, that Top of the Tower video back in the day. But yeah, I've got news. I am now, the person you're listening to, is more than 12,000 days old. Old bastard. I mean, on the actual day, I should have got a picture of me lying down on a snazzy carpet with like all the little numbers laid out next to me. Like social media mums do with their babies. But I bottled it. So maybe on the next milestone, I can try again, but it's not fun to do it in years, is it? But what's that? I'm sounding bloody delicious. Thanks very much, and you are correct, because I'm using a new telephone, a new handset. Well, new to me, supplied by the wonderful Johnny Prem, aka JP, formerly known as Belch. I might have mentioned him. He was very, very briefly called Belchy JJ the Judas, but I think that was just for one night. Or his internet, what does he call himself? J Sugar, that would be a good one. Not normal people sort of get hand-me-downs, don't they? And this... Well, this is kind of a, this is more of a Premachand me down, which only works if you know his surname, but whatever. Absolute hero. Thank you, Johnny. And it all came about because I showed him the state of my old phone, my old handset or whatever, and the battery was totally gone. Always needed to have battery packs sort of plugged in and shit, and yeah, he just pipes up. He's like, yeah, I've got a... That's not fair. That impression is not very good. Sorry, John. But yeah, he's like, oh, I've got an old phone. And yeah, it's just knocking about in my house, so you can just have it. And it turns out that his old telephone was newer than my current one. So it's more of a prima chan me up than a prima chan me down. But anyway, here we are, more than 12,000 days old, and feeling fresh as a bloody daisy. It's nice to be out. This is the first proper walk, like not sort of back and forth to the gym, like next to the road, in a long while. And yeah, it's the first time I've been out as well since like reloading up all of the telephone apps and stuff. So yeah, I have had recording opportunities, but now that it's all back in biz, we're up and running, we're flying. So yeah, I can start getting these back semi-regular, as I can do it just with my phone. I don't have to mess about. Anyway, stats-wise, it has been a bit of a pause, but somewhere, somehow, people are still finding it. So that's all good. Maybe my idea of the algorithm and how it works was all wrong. It just sort of happens. It's all whatever. You can't really change the algorithm. But anyway, that's by the by. It's had a nice little hiatus. And in that meantime, in that time period since I've been gone, we've had a bit of junk mail sent to tidbitspod@protonmail.com from a guy called James. So, don't know the guy, let's call him Cyber James. And it was promoting an online magazine or whatever, but it was just like a list article, what they call a listicle, which is annoying. But yeah, subject: tips for podcasting success. So obviously they've come to the right place. I need all the help I can get, and clicked it. Bloody wonderful stuff. And it turns out I'm sort of doing the opposite of success for all of these things. So I've got the bullet points here, and maybe this will help you if you want to start a podcast and sort of actually have people listen or whatever. But yeah, tips for creating podcast success, right? So number one, keep your podcast focused. So okay, I think we're doing all right with this specific episode. It has strayed in the past, but we're right so far ish number two, picture your target audience. So I mean, my target audience, I'm picturing intellects, picturing wits, you know, people that eat a lot of leafy green veg in their diet, and just alphas, really, isn't it? That's you guys. And yeah, it's a bit of a strange point. It's not really an indulgence I can have, really. It kind of blows my mind that anyone listens at all. So, which reminds me, actually, like, let's put point one aside and break the focus for a moment. Like, my mate is a bit of a, like a big cheese at some marketing company. And I'm being vague because I think she still works there, or it's like a maternity thing that she's going back to or whatever. Like, you know, I've forgotten the company anyway. And the point is, her marketing job meant that she had control of the Twitter account of one of the UK's favourite Burton Latimer based breakfast wheat biscuit brands. In Australia they call it Weet-Bix, if that's a clue. But anyway, she trained her team, and they had to think, like, whenever they were using this account, whenever they were tweeting as the brand, they were told to sort of picture a personified version of this cereal. Like, who is the cereal? And what are their... If it was a person, what did its... Was its values? What's the personality of this wheat biscuit? And yeah, what would they tweet? I don't know. In reaction to this, like this milky subject that's coming, or whatever. But that kind of marketing crap, I don't really understand at all. But this lad that. Well, on her team or whatever, one of her lackeys, he gets control of the account, the Twitter. And, I mean, legit, but he logged in thinking he was just logging in as himself, but he logged in as the biscuit cereal. And, well, long story short, he tweeted... calling out Wayne Rooney for being shit at corners or something like that, and which got him fired, and it must have put the company's online reputation at risk or whatever. But all breakfast cereals can't be all like cuddly old nans, can they? It's nice to have a bit of banter, you know what I mean? Like, if you start getting destroyed by a cornflake or something, that'd be quite fun. Anywho, number three, back to the list, be consistent. So, I've been thinking about this, that's kind of vague, isn't it? Like, who cares about consistency? You can't really say, is that about a subject matter? But if we're talking consistency, it's not mashed potato. I mean, it doesn't really matter, I guess. But, unless you're consistently shambolic, I guess that's a whatever. Number four, plan your workflow. So I assume that's about having a schedule and stuff, and this has come up quite a lot when I talk to people about how it works and whatever. But where's the fun in that, you know, like making it weekly or whatever? And I've got a weird thing about routines. Like, as soon as I'm in a rigid routine, it makes me sort of very aware of my mortality. Like, there's a part of me that thinks, right, if I have a thing on every Wednesday evening, say, like, even though I might really enjoy that thing, then Wednesday evenings are now gone. Like, there's no spontaneity on a Wednesday anymore. So, I mean, you might be like, we like to have sausages for dinner every Monday night. But every Monday, in my sort of thinking, like every Monday in that time window, whilst you're eating those sausages, I mean, you might as well be dead in that time, because there's nothing new gonna happen. So yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it? But I'm the type of guy. The type of guy that I'll watch the same film over and over again as a sort of comfort thing. So what does that say? Sort of directly opposite to what I've just said. But anyway, who knows? Number five, use music segments, but don't infringe on copyrights. I mean, I've had my fingers burnt once with this. And it was only a small thing, but because I think like some of these, you know, like Apple Podcasts or whatever, they have a built-in Shazam or whatever. So when you upload, it can kind of recognize whether you're just trying to re-upload music and get money or whatever. But there was one episode where in an intro, I used too much of the Christina Aguilera song, Feet Red Man. Reggie Noble. It was back on Tidbits Pod 30, and it didn't get taken down as such, it just didn't upload. They said it didn't meet the codes or whatever. But then I cut off 2 seconds from the start, and now it's all right, and it's still up there. So, strange one, isn't it? So I mean, do they always think I'm gonna, I don't know, do they think I'm taking away plays of that song? So instead of people typing in Dirty with two R's, Feet Redman, by Christina Aguilera and Redman, and instead of them sort of playing the full song and enjoying it, they think people are going to prefer to type in Tidbits Pod 30, Have You Ever Had a Shit Outside, and kind of give the first 30 seconds of that a spin instead of listening to the proper song. And I mean, imagine if that song disappears and My Little Archive is the only record of it ever happening. Like, they get rid of the Redman original before Christina comes in and everything. And then it's just DJs trying to cut around my little dopey intro. And yeah, I don't really know the rules as well, so it might not have even been that intro, but cutting off the 2 seconds to make it work. But how long do you get? Like, I've heard before you get 10 seconds, seems a bit long, or 7, 5, nothing. Like, can you just, is there a sensor for anything? I don't know. I actually want to know, really, because it could probably bite me in the ass if this was, you know, a proper thing. But for now, it's just a bit of fun, innit? So if you are a song owner and you want one of my little intros gone because you think it's infringing on your sales or whatever, send me an email. I'll get rid. No problem, mate. I'll do that for you. It's, yeah, just one of the things I'll do because, whatever. Number 6. And the last point for podcast success, promote your podcast. And, well, this is probably the main thing, isn't it? Because my promotion is all over the gaff. I don't enjoy it. But I'm not a marketeer. I mean, my feeling is like, sort of, when I get good, people will sort of naturally share it around, won't they? Like, I mean, which I do, but ultimately the sharing's going to come natural, isn't it? Like, it's a bit of a tricky tightrope, because you can spend the whole episode trying to get people to share it, but then that's the whole episode, so why would they do it? And it's always, I don't know, in all these things as well. I've got two Instagrams now as well, like, which I first created as a recommendation from a mate, Moosey, aka German rap extraordinaire PTM, Philip, Filthy Phil, who you might remember from Tidbits Pod 18 back in the day, last January. I mean, check him out now, actually. Hundreds of thousands of streams. I mean, that's every month, and it's all climbing, and yeah, pretty bloody amazing. Proud of the boy. And yeah, proud to be one of the first PTM subscribers. So onwards and upwards for him. Give him a listen. Give the old interview another listen. Share that round. But anyway, like, he said that, like, having two Instagrams sort of looks better having a sort of special one just for the thing. So I made one, and that's at TidbitsPo, if you're interested. And yeah, I made it primarily so I could sort of stop bothering my Facebook acquaintances that didn't, you know, they didn't sign up or anything. They've just sort of met me 5 years ago in Uzbekistan or something, and now they're just there getting my updates. But yeah, I've basically sort of, I kind of just added the same friend list to that account now anyway. So does that now give license to kind of post all day, every day on there? Who knows? Who knows is my new catchphrase, by the way. How are you liking it? Holding up. But yeah, that was the list. And speaking of social media, actually, social media, Instagram, on Valentine's Day, I shared Well, it's just like a little snippet, a little video of a guy trying to demonstrate like how like nice and tame this lion is. And, you know, I don't know the reason. It's probably a stunt to try and get more people to a zoo or something. And cuts to it. There's no sort of preamble. He's in the cage with the lion, which is already, it's already a horrible setup, like all concrete and bleak, like, you know, metal bars, just stark shit on the floor, hay. You know, it looks like a sort of, it's too small as well. So, I mean, he shouldn't have been in there with the lion, but the lion shouldn't really be in there in the first place. But yeah, anyway, they've got a BBC crew and they're sort of trying to conduct an interview with this guy. And he's just trying to show off his loving relationship with this lion, like how he's trained it so well. And so, yeah, they've got him into the cage. And you can see it's slapdash. Like, the keys are still in the padlock on the door. And I don't know, like, just in case he wanted to escape, I think that would hinder it. Like, there's no sort of plan. But it's kind of... It's blatantly, like, after a few attempts to get an interesting shot, they've sort of gone to him, like, yeah, nah, mate, it's not really exciting enough, you know, with you this side safely outside of the cage. We need you to get in there with the lion. I mean, is that going to be a problem, mate? Is that going to be a problem? And you can see that he's the kind of lad that's, like, he's going to have tried to impress this team. I mean, particularly... the interviewer. So you can tell he would have been like, yeah, no problem, I'll get in there. I'm hard as nails, me. And I mean, it's 1978 as well, so no safety standards. And, well, people didn't age well back then, so this guy's probably only about 19. But he looks haggard as fuck. And he's got a little bald head on top. Like the perfect dyed black hair on the sort of back and sides. And he kind of looks a bit like a shit version of the guy that, you know, the guy that goes, whammy! Like that guy in Anchorman. Sort of looks like a budget version of that. But anyway, he's in with the lion. And the money shot I think they're going for is him getting this lion to give him a little peck on the cheek or whatever, give him a little smooch. So he's like half looking at the lion and then half down the camera lens. So he's not focused, and he's going like, oh yeah, he loves me in here. He's, yeah, we're best pals. Look, we're best pals. And he turns to this lion. He's like, yeah, come here. Come here, oi lion, like, give us a kiss, give us a kiss, give us a kiss, give us a kiss. Come here, mate, come here, give us a kiss, give us a kiss. And then the lion starts just climbing all over him, like massive male lion as well, like peak evolution. And like this lion's just scratching all up his back, and a paw like swipes and nearly rips the guy's ear off. And, but I mean, he's still trying to... like style it out to the camera crew and impress the interviewer or whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, it's good as gold, this lion, good as gold, love him, good as gold. But you can see sort of behind the words, you see it in his face, that he's just regretting all of the little decisions that have led up to that moment. And then I think he looks away for a second or something, but the lion sees its moment and kind of comes in for the kill, and it rears up, and he's kind of, now he's face to face with his lion. He's like, get off, get down, you fucking oily rag of, get off me. And he's like, I mean, you can tell by his voice that he's full of adrenaline. And but still trying to look cool for the camera. And I mean, luckily it didn't rip him apart, but he lashes out a bit, which is horrible to see. But it's sort of like a little, like a primal fear attack. Like the guy's in full flight or fight mode. And the interviewer doesn't know what's going on either. Like, she's just there like, oh my, it's playful, isn't it? Oh my. But little did she know that she's just nearly watched a man get slaughtered by one of nature's perfect killing miracles, sort of thing. Oh, it's playful. But yeah, and this guy still tries. Like, yeah, give us a kiss. Like he sort of won, you know, like, oh, God. But yeah, there's a bit of her as well that's clearly put in post. Like it cuts to the interviewer and it's blatantly like a couple of days later and she's standing in what looks like a recreational ground, like at the back of an estate. And I mean, it's probably just filmed down the road from where she lives. Like, and she's doing the reaction shots, like the Alan Partridge swimming pool reaction shots, if you've seen that clip. And like, they've got the footage, and then she's there a couple of days later, just saying down the camera, "Oh my, he looks dangerous. Is everything under control there? Are you okay?" Like, because the director's probably gone, "Okay, that was mad. This footage is insane. We need to inject some sort of, you know, some evidence of you showing concern." But I mean, oh, crazy. Yeah. I mean, what a treat. I love sort of old shit like that, old footage, like old TV in general just looks insane. It's just like chaos. You know what I mean? You'd go into the commissioning office as well, or whatever, like with an idea, and you'd just be like, I want to make a program. And well, you can imagine the commissioner just sitting behind a big table like, yes, you can make a program, here's some money, give her all the money she can carry, and now we want you to go out there with this camera, but I mean, what would be lovely is some footage of a zookeeper kissing a lion. So yes, make that happen. If you need more money, come back. But anyway, thank you, very good, thank you. I mean, she's done that, she's gone to the office, can't believe her luck, she's got the camera crew, goes down there, and then 2 hours later, she's got Matey Boy just in there, nearly getting clawed to death. He's probably doing it for free as well, all on bravado. And yeah, if that video was properly planned, like, you know, they'd have all sorts of safety stuff in place, wouldn't they? Like, it'd probably be wearing oven gloves or something, and the guy would have proper training and special clothes. I mean, this really does look like they just thought about it 5 minutes before. It's like, I mean, if it was now, it would take weeks to set up. And I mean, firstly, the guy in the cage, it wouldn't be him. I mean, the guy's gonna have abs. You know, they're not just gonna let any old randomer on telly. But he wouldn't be sort of dressed as a geography teacher that's covering a PE lesson as well. And yeah, the line would probably be CGI, or would it happen at all? But yeah. Oh yeah, back to back, I put up it's another video. And as you know from the previous episode, you know I'm a big fan of the life and stylings of David Seaman from Seaman Says, aka Stephen Says, the hot new up and coming podcast. And yeah, he put up a video of him doing a sort of David Brent style advert, like a sort of, I mean, it really just looks like a little corporate event in a warehouse. And it's endorsing this, it's like a window company. But then, as soon as the video was up, I shared it. But then he took it down about an hour later. So, I mean, I tell you what, I will find it. And I've got a particular set of skills. And I will put it back on this episode's Instagram. So, you know, so you guys can see it. And yeah, I mean, just picture the video, right? You're in the warehouse and they've gathered all the workers, all wearing the little smart red tops or whatever. and they've all been gathered, and then out pops former England goalkeeper David Seaman. I mean, they're all in their 20s as well. They probably don't recognise him. But, yeah, he's got the gloves on, just in case you don't recognise him. And he sort of launches into all, like, a whole flurry of kind of goalkeeper puns. So he's like, he just pops out of this, you know, there's confetti and shit, cannons, whatever the budget could be pushed to. He's like, "Hey up, you bastards. It's me, David Seaman. And I'm doing, you know, I'm good at doing saves. Oh, speaking of saves, there's a special offer on these windows. You can save money." And then all the, like, the little warehouse workers, they start cheering and shit, like banging on bin lids. Way! I mean, here's another one. I was at training the other day, and, I mean, what is this voice? I was at training the other day, and, I met a beautiful woman, and she was wearing big gloves at football training. I thought, she's a keeper. Way! Crowd goes mad. Like, they chuck him a window that he sort of holds up like a trophy. Way, David, yeah. I mean, it's, oh my God, it's so good. It's like a carbon copy, you know, it's exactly like, you know, David Brent's motivational speech with the Tina Turner and shit. And, or one of those, you know, the celebrity appearance nights that he does, like in the Christmas special. It's, yeah, just like that. So I'll find it and put it up. Yeah, poific. Yeah, I've read a few good books since the last one. One called The 29th Day by a Canadian lad, I think, or he might be from the US, can't remember. But his name's Alex Messenger. And it's one of those ones where you kind of, you pick it up in a bookshop or whatever, or you just see it in the library or whatever, and read the full title, and you're just going to go, I mean, why would I bother reading that? Like, it's kind of obvious what's going to happen, because, I mean, the book wouldn't have been able to be written if the thing that you think is going to happen is going to happen. But, I mean, trust me, it's fucking good. I mean, you follow the whole journey, and the descriptions are beautiful. It's like, you know, they're on a trip through the Canadian wilderness, like out in the middle of absolute nowhere. With, like, I think there's one satellite phone in the group and all this sort of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, the way he talks about food in it as well, which is probably pretty basic food, but he makes it just sound amazing. And I mean, the actual sort of main action of it, the blow-by-blow account of, you know, what happens on the 29th day is unbelievable. And, I mean, the aftermath, I mean, oh, God, like this sort of make-do surgery. It's like, oh, man, like, you got to read the thing, because I'm saying too much. But that is a big recommendation, so get that in your lives. And after that, I read The Razor's Edge, who, I can't remember who it's by, but it's a classic, you'll find it, The Razor's Edge. Like, it was on the Steve Martin, you know, I was reading Born Standing Up, and in that, like, he said it was one of his favourites, so add it to my list. Didn't really think much, you know, I sort of just, you know, just whacked it on. And very briefly, summary, it's about a guy that's rejecting all of the trimmings of an upper class posh lifestyle, and he just goes out and lives it. And, oh, amazing. So, I mean, there's this one chapter in particular where he's trying to persuade his potential fiance, or whoever she is, and he's talking to her because she's, you know, she wants the posh life. But he's trying to persuade her to just get out in the world and, you know, just live on sort of normal means or whatever. And it's, the whole thing is just fucking, mwah! The guy Larry, amazing. So, yeah, I'd recommend that too. And then Ellis and John's Holy Bible, which that's basically an offshoot of their radio show / podcasts from, it's got references from all the way back in the XFM sort of Radio X days. So I probably wouldn't recommend diving straight in, but if you do the graft, you know, listen to the whole podcast back catalogue, if you do that first, or should I say, if you become a Retro One, a PCD, then, yeah, by the time you know what that means, you're going to enjoy this book. But, yeah, proceed with caution. Don't just go diving in. But, yeah, they are two of my faves. So give that a little go. Give the podcast a go. Maybe I should just recommend the podcast first and then go from there. But, yeah, then there's a lot in this life. I reread Animal Farm and 1984. They called it the Orwell Collection, but they only had those two. And I mean, the main reason I reread it was because it's read by Stephen Fry, and I mean, he does this little, a nice little introduction thing, and he says his relationship with the books and how he found them and how, you know, I mean, it's just sort of, I mean, you know those books, they're very good and ever relevant, but with a little bit of Steve on it, it's just that extra little bit of flavour, just makes it that much better. But yeah, then finally, my little list of books I've read since the last one. I mean, if we don't count the Michael Palin travel diaries that I sleep to, which are, I think they're my favourite books ever, like all of his travel diaries. Like, oh. Anyway, like the most recent one I've finished was Charlie Chaplin's autobiography, and it was very sort of, well, very wordy, as you probably expect from a book, but I mean, quite frequently I had to get out the dictionary, and yeah, that was a big lad as well. It's about, on 1.2 speed, it was about 16 hours, so yeah, buckle up. And but yeah, in general, it sort of made me want to, like, get into proper cinema, you know, like the pioneers. I mean, I say I'm into film, I say I'm a big fan, but even now, I've never seen a Charlie Chaplin film. So, I mean, that's bad, isn't it? So, I mean, the book, though, really good. Like, amazing stuff. But he sort of goes, he goes into detail about what it was like growing up in Victorian London, and his mum getting put into Cane Hill, which is an old insane asylum that, you know, it's not too far from here, actually. But yeah, I mean, I've got mates that claim they actually broke into Cane Hill and had a look around when it was deserted, but it's likely bullshit, but you never know. Anyway, so back to Charlie. It goes into his early career and climbing the ladder in the film industry, and, you know, all the little odd jobs he's doing and stuff before he became mega famous. And I mean, I like the way, though, that he just really backs himself all the way through. Like, the undertone of everything he's saying is basically just like, I was brilliant, but they didn't understand me yet, and they regretted not investing in me. Or if they did invest in him, they'd be like, I was brilliant, and they paid me a shitload of money. Or / I was brilliant, and of course she married me. I was brilliant, and they roared with laughter, the audience in the palm of my hand, sort of thing. And God, I mean, you can tell the time it's written as well, because all the women in it are, I mean, he just either sort of describes them as quite beautiful or quite plain. He'd sort of, I mean, every now and again you get a little flower. It would be like she entered the room ebullient and spry, quite pretty and ample of chest.
She inflamed my sexual ardour. Her friend, however, quite plain. A bore, and quite plain, indeed. We luncheoned with the ambassador and some other people that were almost as fucking brilliant as me. I was witty and charming. But alas, the girl, the pretty girl, was not. Her words, eloquent and perspicuous, yet discourteous and biting, said I, "Don't be so recalcitrant." And then I let out a flurry to them of Rabelaisian invective to distinguish the vigour of the luncheon. And after we parted way in a most discordial manner, what a pity, for I am brilliant and pulchritudinous as ever, and she failed to recognize it. And yes, it just cooled my ardour. Later that day, I had a wonderful dinner, and I sold another picture, which made me a fucking shitload of money. And needless to say, I am brilliant and rich, and everyone roared with laughter. I mean, he always describes, like, the massive laughs that he gets, but I just don't get what they're laughing at most of the time. Like, he's sort of got like a... I described the character of the tramp to the director, and he roared with uncontrollable laughter. "Yes," I said to him, "the trousers and shoes, they're too big. But the jacket, imagine the jacket. The jacket is too tight, and the hat is too small." I was brilliant, and he fucking pissed himself at my description. And yes, he agreed to pay me a shitload of money. I mean, I put a little pin, I clipped out a bit where he's just starting, it's maybe the first or second time he's in the US, and he's talking about how a sketch he did about, it's about camping, but it's about how this sketch worked well in England, but it didn't work out over in the US. And then he just reads out this script, and fucking hell, like, I mean, I'm going to play it out at the end, but what a sort of different time for humour. I mean, it's a... God, do you ever see that Paul Whitehouse, you know, the old-timey comedian guy that used to do on the Fast Show? Like, the guy that would be like, "Where's me washboard?" Like, I mean, that, "Have you seen it, madam? Have you seen it? I've seen you wearing your brother's clothing, sir. I've seen you wearing your brother's clothing." Like this guy. But it's, it's probably not too far from old Peter, is it? "Garlic bread, sir. Have you tasted it? Have you tasted it, madam? Oh, hey, it's a sensation, eh? The future." Yeah, that brings it full circle back to Peter Kay. But, yeah, that Fast Show bit is a parody of, I think, wartime comedy, so like 30s or 40s. But imagine, like, this camping scene that Charlie's describing is the humour of, like, decades before even that. So, yeah, it's... Yeah, you'll hear it at the end of this. It's interesting. But, yeah, right, I'm going to wrap it up. So... I'm going to keep the outro nice and short and sweet, as always. I want to say thank you for listening, and because, you know, you are the engine and the fuel, you know, the legends. I wouldn't bother if no one listened, and, yeah, you could have very easily stopped listening in this little interim, so thank you for fanning the flames, and, thanks to everyone that sort of reached out and said, "Where the fuck is Tidbits Pod?" I mean, I say everyone that reached out, that's social media talk for one person mentioned it in passing. It's kind of like when people sort of go like, yeah, a lot of you have been asking about my handbag. No, we haven't. Oh, sorry I haven't posted in a while. Yeah, no, nobody cares, mate. Nobody noticed. But, I mean, yeah, if you'd like to get in contact with the show, send a message to tidbitspod@protonmail.com. That's the best avenue. And, more details of how to support the show are in the show notes. I tidied up the weekly Spotify playlist that I've been making since way before Tidbits Pod, actually. But I've made a little bit of a cover picture and shit. And now, if you type in the date of any Sunday, I mean, any Sunday from this decade. So the first one was, it was just called 5 Jan 20. And today's is 2/7/22. Like in that format, no spaces. So, you know, next week's will be 6 Mar 22 and so on. Type that in and you'll find, you know, there's a whole load of Spotify playlists and they're all 21 songs long, so not too long. And I've sort of put them together from recommendations or from old songs that have kind of come back into my memory or ones that have never went away or new songs that I like. There's little comedy snippets in there sometimes. It's good stuff, mate. So, you know, whether... I mean, obviously some weeks are better than others, but have a little rummage and, you know, it's a good way to find, discover new things, like get away from the algorithm. And it's kind of, it's good to have a list that's not governed by mood, which everything seems to be now. Like, I don't know, I was about to complain, but I do have I've made a list called Chilling Beans that is exceptional. So give that a little go as well. But fill your bloody boat, son. And yeah, if you do hear a good album or a good song or a good podcast, send it my way. I've got a lot of sort of time to be walking and listening to stuff. So yeah. And yeah, I'll be cryptic about it, but big plans are coming, but that's just a tease. I think it's too early to actually say on here, just in case it does go tits up. But anyway, you've been brilliant, as have I, and splendid and charming and shapely and quite beautiful. Quite beautiful. Not plain. See you later.
My first joke was considered a big laugh in England and a barometer for how the rest of the comedy would go over. It was a camping scene. I entered from a tent with a teacup. Archie, me. Good morning, Hudson. Do you mind giving me a little water? Hudson. Certainly. What do you want it for? Archie. I want to take a bath. A faint snicker, then cold silence from the audience. Hudson. How did you sleep last night, Archie? Archie. Oh, terribly. I dreamt I was being chased by a caterpillar.
Here he is, Arthur Atkinson.
Garlic bread! Garlic bread!